Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're going to be joined in a little bit by our guest, Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic, Joe Yerndon. And obviously, we have him on to talk about the global series that we just wrapped up in Sweden.
Sweden.
Which I guess we need to send the team to Sweden because they swept in Sweden.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk to him a little bit about the Buffalo Sabres because they may be a team that we need to really keep an eye on this season. They are a very good team. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, and we've said this before on the podcast that, you know, I think last year when they set this global matchup, series matchup in Sweden, people are like, Lightning versus the Sabres? Oh, that's not going to be entertaining. It was quite entertaining.
It was, and the Sabres started out really, really hot this season, and I, of course, we want to talk to Joe about this, because as right before they went to Sweden, they kind of a little bit of a rough patch, not unlike the Lightning, who have been going through a little rough. So, but they are a great team. They are very dynamic, and boy, that Jack Eichel is something else.
Yeah, and we're going to ask that question, which I'm sure Joe is like over the Jack Eichel question, but because we don't see him every day, it's like when we get the Steven Stamkos or the Nikita Kucherov question or the Vasilevsky question, it's like, okay. But, you know, we got to ask it because we do see them more than a lot of other teams just because of where they are in the division. But, yeah, I mean, they see them every day, so I can't wait to pick his brain about that. We are joined by our guest, Joe Yerndon from The Athletic, who writes for the Buffalo Sabres.
It's great to talk to you today. Thanks for having me.
So can you tell everybody where you can find everything that you do for The Athletic and maybe social media as well?
Well, you can certainly find me at The Athletic Buffalo. Just do a little search on the site for Sabres stuff or just look up my name. You'll find me pretty easy on there. It's pretty easy to find. But you can find me on Twitter through my name, at Joe Yerndon, it's J-O-E-Y-E-R-D-O-N, nine little letters, and you can find me in my thousands and thousands of tweets, which, you know, maybe don't read all of them because that would be a very boring day.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So, first of all, the Sabres have a lot of writers on The Athletic, which I think is super cool, but I think it's also indicative of the area. Hockey's huge up there. But I have to know what the origin is, and hopefully you can give this, of why it says you're a noted jerk, because I've only dealt with you, you know, through, you know, the phone and DMs and texts, and you're, like, really nice. I don't get it. What am I missing?
See, that's all part of the joke, though.
Okay.
It's like the longest running, like, inside stupid joke, because years ago when I was writing for NBC during the Arizona Coyotes, are they moving? Are they not moving?
Oh, right, yeah.
On why do they have 900 owners? What's happening here? Situation, which goes back to like, what, 2010, 11, 12, that area. There were so many stories that were coming out, and you know, when I was at Pro Hockey Talk, it was very heavy on aggregation of stories, and a team possibly moving, that's a big story. That's a big deal. So we were trying to follow that as close as possible. And anytime we cited one or, you know, any story that said that, hey, they might be moving to Seattle. Hey, they might be moving to Winnipeg again. There was a pretty big group. Well, I guess big relative, but there was a pretty loud group of fans who made it known that whoever wrote those stories was wrong, and that sharing any of those stories was just anti-Arizona propaganda, and that I was wishing for teams to move back to Canada because that's where they thought I believe the game belonged, which was not anywhere near the truth. Because I'd gone to Arizona in hopes of seeing, you know, what it was, you know, what a game day was like there, what, you know, what was going on with the team. And, you know, while I was there, I got to interview Shane Doan, and this is while Paul Bissonnette was in Arizona.
Biz nasty. So,
of course. So, like, you know, I got to experience all this and be there, and the Coyotes were pretty good that season. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the 2012 season where they went to the West final, but the year before, I mean, they were in the playoffs and they were a pretty tough team to deal with. And you know what? The fans I talked to and all the people there, they believed in it and they loved it. And I said, you know, I'm not against anything going on here, but I was like, I gotta share the stories as they're written. And it's very possible this team might go. And it was very close that they moved, you know, two different times. You know, they almost moved to Winnipeg. I think it was in 2010. The Winnipeg owners, Mark Chipman, was on the line waiting to see if the Glendale City Council was going to approve them or not. And, you know, the City Council, of course, did. And they told, okay, Winnipeg, sit tight. You know, we'll get things figured out for you soon enough. You know, the following year, it was the Thrashers who ended up moving. But I think it was 2012, it was the same thing. The City Council had a vote. And if the vote went against keeping the team, they were going to go to Seattle. And it was just a thing where it was just a nonstop cycle of like, right. Oh, my God, figure it out. Like, let's get this done. So long story made even longer here. There was one fan who decided to use their creative abilities to create like a little graphic to show the people they felt that were wronging the Coyotes, and they referred to all of us as the noted jerks of hockey, and it was myself, it was Greg Wyshynski, and I think it was Tony Gallagher in Vancouver. And when they showed this to Greg, you know, that by this point, you know, a couple of people had already started calling me a jerk on Twitter from Arizona. And, you know, I just ran with us and I said, yeah, I guess that makes me a noted jerk then. And other friends started picking it up and hashtagging it. And, you know, when Greg was showing this poster, he's like, listen, there's only one noted jerk around here and it's me. And I was like, thanks, Greg. That's really nice. You know, it was all in good fun, of course. So it's, you know, but it's stuck with me and I've kept it as like kind of, I don't know, kind of a memento for where I've come from and how silly Twitter can be. And this is back before Twitter got really, really silly and insane and just all out ridiculous. So it's a fun thing, but it's a great inside joke now because I don't think I'm too much of a jerk at all.
No, you've been very nice as far as, you know, as I'm concerned, but I did text CT and I was like, I reached out to a Sabres writer, but he says like he's a self-proclaimed noted jerk. I'm kind of scared now, but it's so far working out. So,
but yeah, no, I try to be not as kind as I can to everybody, and it gets a lot more difficult in current times to be nice to people, you know, because anybody who has any sort of perceived slight is going to come at you with knives out. So it's, you kind of got your dander up at all times, but you know, I just kind of roll with it as much as possible. And plus I don't think I'm very inflammatory with anything I say. It's try to stay away from the hot takes as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, we want to talk to you about the Global Series, but before we do, we've talked about it a few times on our show. We're really impressed with the way that the Sabres started the season. At one point, they were second place behind those people from New England that I don't mention in the division. What makes this team different than the team we saw last year? They just seem like it's a different feel to them. I can't even really put it to words. When I watched the Sabres, especially to start the season, it was like this team seems like really, really different.
I think you can put all of that on Ralph Kruger. Mm. I think his psychology about sports, his attitude about everything, and his approach to how he handles the team. I think that makes it makes a world of difference for them. It's weird to say that because I think sports psychology doesn't really come into the thought process of how well or how poorly a team does. I mean, it gets referred to in other ways, you know, whether it's chemistry or, any other sort of intangible thing, it's chalked up that way. But I think in this case, this team needed a different sort of approach. And I think Ralph's ability as a motivational speaker and as a guy who's unrelentingly trying to focus on keeping everybody's head straight on what they're doing well, and then using that to kind of play around that and say, all right, well, you're doing this well. Let's work on these other things that you're doing okay with, but let's make it better. And saying that in those kinds of terms, it's delivering the same message that other coaches do. It's just focusing on more of a positive side of it. And I think that does a world of difference, especially when you've got a team loaded with younger players. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I think that's a very underrated aspect of what he's been able to do. And, you know, the players say, you know, he holds everybody accountable. He does, you know, he does all the things that, you know, your regular hockey coach would do. But Ralph's approach to it, though, I think is something very different. And it's been very necessary given how bad things have been in Buffalo the last few years. And you know, when you've had as many different head coaches, I mean, I think of Rasmus Ristolainen. I think this is his fourth, maybe fifth head coach he's dealt with in Buffalo. And he's only been in the league 6 seasons. So it's a different sort of thing. And I think that was needed.
Let's move on to the series. Now, before they all landed in Sweden, I'm not going to try and pronounce these city names. The Sabres kind of had a little bit of a rough patch heading into Sweden. I thought they played really well against the West Coast teams they saw, but not a lot of points coming the last, you know, week and a half before then. And the Lightning, of course, obviously haven't been playing to the level that the expectations, you know, have been, you know, betrothed upon them by the pundits out there. But I felt like going into it, this could have been like I thought it was going to be intense. I think most people didn't expect it. You know, hey, we're talking about the Lightning and the Sabres. But the expectations were the game really kind of hockey gods looked down on it to put this matchup out there. But I thought this was going to have to be a confidence booster for both teams. And one team, you know, maybe they split, best case scenario, you know, for overall looking at it. So how much do you think getting beat in both games, does that affect the Sabres being as young as they are coming back to the States? Or is it, hey, this was something they knew was going to get the travel, all this nonsense was going to affect them, the schedule would be thrown off, and they just move on?
Well, I think it's disappointing, to say the least. I mean, this is four losses now in a row for them. They've lost five of the last six. They've got three points in the last six games. So that's tough. You know, once it turned to November, things got harder immediately. You know, the difficulty level got turned from normal to hard, and that adjustment's been a little bit difficult, but they've played some very good teams. And I think that gets a little bit lost with this. And you could look at it as either like, this is a huge negative, or it's like, oh, here we go again. You know, this is just the team that loses, but you could say like, well, you know, okay, the only game out of those last six that, you know, of the five of the six they've lost, the only one that really sticks out as a like, you know, what the heck happened here game is the Ranger game. You know, that, you know, you lose 6-2 to the Rangers, who are, you know, decidedly not very good. And you get housed down at Madison Square Garden. That's not a great look. But you know, you lose to the Islanders 1-0. You lose to Washington 6-1 in an ugly game, but the Caps are really good.
Yeah.
And you get swept by Tampa Bay, and you know, they were in both of those games in some fashion. You know, just, you know, you get close or you get ahead and you give up a tough goal, and things can get sideways quick, especially with a team that's got the amount of talent that Tampa does. It's, you know, these things are going to happen. And, you know, it was the kind of thing that, you know, looking ahead to that series, I thought, you know, Tampa's down right now. You know, Buffalo's trying to find their way, you know, trying to figure their stuff out still. And you say, you know what, get a win against them, you know, get the season tone started right. And, you know, maybe, you know, keep Tampa below you in the standings for at least a little while longer. And, you know, that doesn't last very long in this league as far as things go. But, you know, I think that the negative way to look at it is it's pretty easy to be negative. You know, the goal scoring wasn't there. Defensive effort was a little bit squirrely, and you know, that hinders the goaltending. But I think the other way to look at it is to say, all right, well, we know we've got our top line that can score when they need to. You know, the Eichel line is so good that line can change any game, and that's great. But now it's a process of figuring out what your other lines can do and finding ways to make them better. And I think that's going to be the next challenge here. And I think part of that challenge is going to be trying to find maybe another forward here that can help get at least that line with Skinner and Johansson, and getting them, making that an absolute number two, like they're going to score. They're a threat to score every time in the ice line. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do early in the year.
Joe Yurden, Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic. In game one, actually in both games, at the start especially of all periods, the Sabres really just attacked the Lightning, kind of all over them from the beginning, from the puck dropping. And I have to tell you that, especially in game one, it was just an onslaught Vasilevsky had to face. You know, I felt kind of bad sitting back watching because Eichel's shot was fantastic, that point blank shot that he fired. And I was like, oh boy, that's going in, and it didn't. And the Lightning wind up getting on the board first. It was really a hard game. One to me was a really hard fought game the whole way through. What did you know, aside from the goaltending, which was absolutely unbelievable in both goals, I thought it was really possibly, in my opinion, maybe people don't like this, and then I'm a no jerk in Lightning land, but I thought it was maybe the Lightning's best game of the entire season so far. How did you feel the Sabres actually like played in game one?
Well, I thought Linus Ullmark really, really kept them in that game. You know, after Tampa was able to weather that first 10 minutes, you know, it was treated like a real road game for the Lightning there, because the Sabres came out and it was very clear Buffalo wanted to jump on them, get those goals on the board early and see how it goes from there. But I think from that point on, it was really a very difficult game for Buffalo. I thought Tampa played outstanding. They got their act together, and Ullmark really had to be outstanding to keep it as close as it ended up being, because that's one of the things you gotta kind of fight through. Yeah. And you know, for a team like that, it's easy to get down when you get those great chances and you don't get one, and you say, geez, man, we threw everything we had at it, we didn't get one by. And you know that, you know, that's Vasilevsky doing his job. It's, you know, having a little bit of good luck too.
Yeah,
that's a big part of it. But I think the part of weathering that is not getting discouraged and saying like, all right, well, we got this going, let's keep it going. And they didn't keep it going. You know, soon it was every puck battle. Like, there wasn't a battle. It was Tampa was getting the puck and skating away with it, or you know, making a quick pass and getting out of their zone. There wasn't a lot of that from Buffalo. Buffalo was a lot of, instead of attacking, it was responding to being attacked. And, you know, in hockey, you gotta find ways to spin it back. And I think that's when you start seeing more of Johan Larsson's line coming out there, because they've been very good at that. They've been very good at turning games and, you know, turning around a shift or two to get it. So, you know, maybe you get a face off back in the opponent's end, and then you get your scoring lines out there and make things happen. The problem being, though, is that if you're not winning puck battles, if you're not, you know, racing after the puck, if you're not putting pressure on a team like the Lightning, letting them do whatever they want to do, you're in for a bad night. And that's kind of where it went in game one. And, you know, Buffalo found ways to kind of get back to it. Yeah. You know, Sam Reinhart was great all weekend. But that was, you know, game one was a really tough one, because they found themselves behind the eight ball really quick, and they didn't seem to know how to respond to that.
All right. So this is the question that you probably have been getting asked probably anytime you talk to anybody not in Buffalo. But when the Sabres were down 2-0, Jack Eichel really, I know it's like such a cliche thing to say, but he really seemed to put the team on his back. I mean, he just dug really deep and was kind of the guy. Just felt like he was the one that was willing them out there to do anything. I don't know how to exactly put it. I mean, we don't see him that often. You see him every single day. Obviously, he's a special guy, but what is it, you know, what does he bring to the team that if you don't see him often, you don't really notice?
This season he's been a different animal out there this year. I think he's shown that he can be one of the dominant players in the league, you know, every shift, every game. In the past years, we've been able to see it more often than not, but there would be games where you're just like, uh-oh, Jack ain't got it tonight. Like, okay, let's see who's got it tonight. And, you know, the answer in the past has been, well, there's nobody better than him, so they better hope all the, you know, the other 19 guys, 18 guys have got it, because if he ain't got it going, then they're going to have a hard night. But he's bringing it every game now, and he's a distinct threat every time he's got the puck. I mean, you see it every time he carries the puck up the ice. You know, he's able to bring it into the zone. You know, you don't have to dump the puck into the corner when you got Jack out there, because Jack's going to get it across the line and he's going to get it set up. And I think that's been the biggest part. You know, he's the guy that's driving. You know, it might not be reflected in Corsi numbers or even zone time, but you know, if they're gonna get a, you know, an offensive series started up, it's gonna be from him, and it's gonna be because he's got the puck in the zone. And I think that's the biggest difference for me. And you know, it's feel tough saying that when, you know, you're not gonna see it reflected in the numbers, because it turns into a watch watch the game, you know, sort of like, you know, old man, you know, yelling at clouds sort of argument. But I mean, there's nobody better than him on this team that can do those kinds of things. You know, you see what other guys can do, but they can't do what Jack could do, and he's doing it every game. And I think that's the biggest thing. They need that from him every game. And that's a huge burden. Huge burden, especially because, you know, they're kind of lacking at center, you know, with guys that can drive play, and it's a big issue for them right now. I mean, Johansson's been very good at helping out in the middle. But I mean, he's not a faceoff winner. You know, it's he hasn't played center since he was in Washington, really. And you know, you're kind of forcing him to be that number two center guy. And I think that's a weakness for the team that gets kind of shown a little bit, even though Johansson's been outstanding.
We are talking to Joe Yernden, Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic, and you're listening to Game Misconduct. We're going to take a quick. Joe Yernden, Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm Dory here with CT, and we are talking to Joe Yernden, the Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic. Okay, I got to ask, talk about Game 1 in Sweden, the series. First of all, before I even get into the hot stove stuff, how is Vladimir Sobotka?
Well, as of this moment, I'm sure, like Tampa, they're not going to be skating for a few days this week. The Sabres aren't on the ice. Pardon me, my voice is just like deciding to take off on me here. Sobotka is getting checked out today in Buffalo. It's today, Monday.
Okay.
We should know more soon-ish about how he's doing. But yeah, that was a bit of a tough play there from Kucherov. It's a little bit unexpected, I got to say, from Kucherov. And I don't know, that's... I see that kind of play, and it the first guy I thought of was Brad Marchand, the kind of go low, go late kind of thing. And you know, I mean, for Marchand, he got that out of the way early in his career, being that sort of rat out of a player. Now he's just a 40 goal, 100 point demon, and you know, he's still kind of a jerk on the ice. So I get it, but. You know, for Kucherov, it seemed a bit out of character to see that. I know he got suspended before, but that's seeing that happen with him was just like, what are you doing? You know, like I don't understand the point of, you know, sticking your hip out and, you know, kicking a guy out at, you know, whether it's the hips or the knees like that. It just didn't seem very necessary. It was kind of foolish to see that. And, you know, I was very, very surprised to see it because, you know, Kucherov was, you know, 130-point guy last year.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant player. He's one of my favorites in the league. And it's kind of like, oh, dude, what are you doing? Like, come on. Let's not add that element to the game. It's unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, when the hit happened and Twitter explodes and everybody's, you know, really mad, and then there's a lot of people trying to defend him, and I was kind of like, listen, we happen to unfortunately see Marchand a lot. And the Tom Wilsons out there, and you know, we're the first to call them out. And I'll be honest, in my opinion, I was like, why is everybody getting kind of up in arms about, like, so defensive about this? It was a late hit, and it was low, and that's it. And honestly, I was surprised he didn't get penalized for it.
Yeah, I think that's that might be the highlight out of a low light game for Sabres fans was the video they caught of Ralph Krueger talking with Chris Lee at the bench and Chris Lee admitting like, oh, we didn't see it, none of us saw it. I don't know how you don't see it. I mean, Sabocha just took a shot, and yeah. You know, eyes are usually on the puck in that case. I know it's different for officials because they're not, you know, if you're caught watching the puck, you're going to miss a lot more. But I mean, it's, you know, Ralph Krueger says, well, wake up. You got eight eyes out there. How do you get to miss that?
And, yeah.
You know, I think not even 5 minutes later, they didn't miss a kind of dicey call against Dahlin. I think it was Dahlin Tripp. Or something. Not long after that, and I think Tampa racked up three or four power plays in a row, and it was just like,
yeah.
Neat. Okay, well, that's great to see. It's what you love seeing is that kind of like, oh, he told us to wake up. Well,
okay, we did.
So we did wake up, and we caught everything your team's doing or might be doing. I'm not sure.
Right, right.
But it looked like a penalty, so we're gonna call it because we don't want to get yelled at again. So I mean, these things happen. I mean, it happens in every single game. You know, the referees are never going to make anybody happy 100% of the time, and you know, we know game management is a thing for officials, and you know, they always want to keep things even. They don't want one team to run away with power play chances because it just means the other team's going to complain to the boss, and
yeah,
nobody wants to deal with Karen when she shows up saying I want to speak to a manager. it's that kind of thing for officials because they just hate getting yelled at constantly,
yeah.
And I think we can all identify with that. But at the same point, holy cow, how do you miss that?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I always say we've been on the air. This is our sixth season, and I think I say it 10 times a year, maybe even more. Like the refs don't hate your team; they hate every team. It happens to everybody. But moving on to game two again, Omar, incredible. A lot of nice saves early. Actually, throughout the whole game, it kind of got away from him a little bit in the third period, and the game got chippy, real chippy. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I wanted to talk to you about the Paquette, Maroon, Gord, fourth line from the Lightning. They were all over the place in Game 3. You heard their names a lot. Not necessarily, you know, always for the good thing, but the big scrum, I guess we want to say, in the third, after the Lightning had scored the two goals within a minute. And it kind of, mm-hmm. you know, the Sabres are now, they're ticked off. I mean, and they're probably mm-hmm. like, hey, we're running out of time here. So it got a little mid-90s chippiness going at them. And then Eichel and Chernak was really shocking to me. I mean, there was like so many wacky things going on. Paquette gets 10 minutes. He's out of the game for the game misconduct. I thought it was like, hey, are they doing this just to prevent any more nonsense going on out here? What were you kind of, what do you make of that whole stretch of just melee?
Yeah, I think I'm a little weathered on hockey nonsense because that to me seemed like it was bound to happen at some point. I think, you know, the Kucherov hit on Sobotka helps get that fuse lit early on. You know, there was no response to it. It was just kind of like, all right, well, okay, that's taking a number, but it's also like the reigning MVP taking a guy out at the knees. Like, you don't just go after a guy like that and start going house on him because that's how you end up getting like a 5-game suspension. But the stuff late, I mean, the Chernak hit on Eichel was very sneaky. Like the referee is standing there, but not even looking at the play. And he just, you know, he just blasts him from behind. And you know, these teams have some history. I mean,
yeah.
I think Eichel got his first suspension, first ever suspension on a play against Tampa. I think it was McDonough last year.
Yeah.
Last year, 2 years ago. I forget. But I think that, you know, Eichel had a couple of instances where he was fortunate to not get suspended. And I think it was against Tampa where he did something and it was just like, well, he's going to get something for that. And he did. But, so I mean, there is a little history. I don't think there was any history with Chernak and Eichel, but mm-hmm. it was an opportunity to deliver a hit and he did. And it was boarding. I mean, it's straight up boarding. But I mean, you know, you do that and, you know, Sam Reinhart's the first guy in on that. I mean, Eichel and Reinhart are BFFs and they're, you know, that's, that's not going to go over well. And, you know, Eichel had a had an instance or two last season where he got pasted by somebody and nobody responded. Like nobody decided to step up. Nobody said anything. I was very, it was kind of the moment of the season where you're like, yeah, I think things are done here. When he got hit by Nikita Zadorov, former Sabre, in a game in Denver, he just got absolutely blasted and nobody stepped up to Zadorov to say, you know, to even like grab him by the collar and say anything. Nobody did anything. And that was a big moment after the game. You know, they get pasted in Colorado and the first question to Jack is like, well, what'd you think of the hit? You know, like, and he's furious about the hit. He's furious about losing. He's furious about being asked about the hit. And, you know, it became a bit of a big moment late in a very ugly season. So it's the kind of thing where, you know, they didn't respond to Sobotka, but then Eichel gets a hit and it's just like, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's all hash this out right now. And it kind of got hashed out, but not really. But, you know, just guys yelling at each other. And it's when I mentioned game management before, that's totally what it was from the officials. You know, mm-hmm. You get two and you get 10, go sit down. Like,
yeah.
This game's over with. Like, you're not, you know, even if you do sit for 10 minutes, it's going to go carry through overtime if it somehow gets to that point. So whatever, go away, go sit down. You're not coming back today. So that's it.
Joe Yurden, Buffalo Sabres writer for The Athletic. So we're going to be meeting again, the Sabres and the Lightning, that is, a few weeks down in Tampa. What do you expect to see from that meeting, given what we already saw in Sweden? Do you think it'll be a little more, you know, the chirpiness will continue? Do you think by that point it'll be a couple weeks removed? You know, everybody that we had talked to on the Lightning side, Brian Burns and Eric Erlandson, some of the writers here kept saying, after Sweden, the team will settle down. After Sweden, it all gets out of the way. We'll finally start to see who the Lightning is. Do you feel that way about the Sabres, that they'll start simmering down here and settling in? And how do you think that the next game's going to go? Like, you know, what do you expect to see?
Well, I think we're going to find out what the Sabres are about very quickly here. I think they've got games in 11 of the next 17 days. Once they get back to playing on Thursday night, I think it's 11 and 17. It's a crazy end to the month. Cause their first game after they get out of, you know, they get done with the Sweden stuff here, they're playing Carolina at home and, you know, Carolina's just a devil of a team to deal with. And, you know, but you mentioned that next visit to Tampa, that's a very humongous road trip already for this team, because it starts in Boston. And then it's a back-to-back with the Panthers and the Lightning. I mean, that's three divisional games, one against the team that's just absolutely crushing everybody, and then a Florida team that scores a ton of goals, and the Lightning, who now they're 0-2 against. So it's a very interesting road trip, and, you know, with a back-to-back, especially after coming back from Sunrise, where they don't seem to ever win. Sabres have a very hard time winning there. So it's going to be a fascinating trip to see how this plays out. I think by the time that trip is over with, we're going to really know where this team's headed. You know, if it's going to be middle of the pack, you know, everybody had them destined to finish sixth in the Atlantic, you know, because you figure you got Tampa, you got Boston, you got Toronto, there's your top three. And then it's just it's a game of Rochambeau to see who finishes fourth, fifth, sixth there. So I would love to offer more insight as to how I think it's going to go, but I want to see how they do here, you know, coming out of this break and, you know, having four losses in a row, and you're going to have a bunch of home games, which means you got to deal with even more home media, some of whom aren't maybe as careful with, with asking the questions about things. So it's going to be, things could get really tight really quick here, just because it's been the same old forever. And, you know, losing 4 out of 5, unfortunately, is kind of how it's been normally here. So I think this next stretch is going to be, it's going to be very difficult. There's not a lot of, you know, gimme games here. You know, it's a game in Ottawa, but Ottawa just went like won 3 of their last 4, and Anders Nilsson's playing great. So it's like, that's not easy. You know, you got Minnesota coming in here soon too. Minnesota's been up and down, so mostly down, but like, that's not going to be that easy, especially if it means fighting for Boudreaux's job or, know, Lord knows, maybe he gets fired and there's a new coach and they gotta get things excited again. So there's so many, you know, landmines waiting to be stepped on with this schedule coming up. And I think this is going to be a very interesting stretch for Ralph Kruger to figure out how to manage it.
Yeah. And you got to watch out for Ottawa, because I'd be remiss not to bring up that when the Lightning were going on their Ontario trip, and you know, I'm like, oh, and it's Ottawa. I mean, and then they like smoke the Lightning, and I was like, oops, now I got to come back the next week, and we got to talk about how Dory the Jerk said, you know, oh, Ottawa. Honestly, I don't know. I think that the Lightning, any team that comes in goes, I think it goes back to back, Panthers Lightning or Lightning Panthers. It's just, unfortunately, it's almost like you can, like, you know, see it. The Florida trip, they should just call it from now on. So we know who your favorites.
I will say, I do like, though, that the Sabres, after they get done with Boston, they'll have 2 days off. Well, 2 days without a game, I should say, to get ready for the Panthers. And they're going to have an off day in Florida when they get, you know, after
nice.
They get down there. So it's, you know, hey, get a little bit of sun. It's already, as I'm talking to you, it's snowing here in Buffalo. So, I mean, winter's already here. So, I mean, get a little sun, get some time on the beach, and then get ready to go to work on Saturday. But yeah, that's, I mean, you know, the rest part is very important for this team, because Ralph does work them very hard. But, you know, Tampa, Florida, and the Panthers back-to-back is pretty wicked, especially when both teams are playing well.
Well, we have had a great time talking to you. Are you going to be in town in a few weeks?
I am, actually.
Oh, fun.
I'm going to be, it's going to be my first trip down there. I didn't get to do it last season. So this will be my first visit to Amalie Arena and to what the heck is the name of the arena in Florida?
BB&T Center, maybe BB&T.
Yeah.
I don't know. They change their names a lot. I can't keep track of them all. Maybe we can get together with you. We'd love to meet you. And we are looking forward to facing the Buffalo again. I know I've said it a lot. Lightning fans are sick of me hearing it, but really think this is a special team. And you have been a very special guest. We're very happy that you were able to join us. Can you tell everybody how they can follow you again on Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Joe Yerdon, JoeYerdon. It's almost like a song, except it would be not a hot selling song. but you can also find me at The Athletic Buffalo. I mean, it's all on The Athletic website.
Yeah.
Just find me there. Search for me at Joe Yerdon on there, and you'll find everything that I've been writing there, too.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Dory.
That was cool.
Yeah, I like meeting new media people.
I know they're always so nice and such great insight.
Yeah,
you and I haven't really had a chance to talk about the Sweden games. They were great. I thought I was a lot more. I wasn't sure what to expect with, you know, Hedman being out right before and a couple injuries, but they were really entertaining. I thought the matchups were great. I feel a little different about the
Kucherov
hit.
Okay, I knew. I was kind of watching you over there.
So I was watching it, and I was working while, but I had it on mm-hmm. on my iPad, and so I, because they were showing it from above, and I didn't see like ice level
uh-huh.
video.
Sure.
But they're showing it from above. I don't know if he saw him, and he was kind of falling anyway. Because there was a guy kind of who crossed in front of him. I don't know if he saw him.
Okay.
Yes. Was the hit kind of ugly? Yes, the hit was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if he saw him.
Well, it's very out of character. If you remember even last year with Hedman. Hedman had
yes.
the hit her ground, you know, and he definitely didn't mean it. And he said immediately, I did not mean it.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I hope he's okay, you know.
Yeah.
I think Kucherov is the same kind of guy, even though, you know, he's the Russian. You know,
he's
the Russian,
very competitive, but it doesn't mean he wants to hurt people.
No, I don't think he did either. Was it late? Yes. Was it low?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that's how I kind of was looking
right.
at it. Like, if it was, you know, because we saw Matthew Joseph
yep.
get hit.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, I cannot think of the Saber who did it, but he was like, honestly, I had nowhere to go.
Like,
went right into him. I didn't mean to hurt him. I never would do that.
It just feels different than a Marchand or a Tom Wilson hit. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he saw him, and the game is so fast. I just think it's just, they collided in the wrong, the worst
wrong
possible
spot.
Way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure he feels, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I'm sure he feels terrible.
Yeah.
But for me, I just, like, I'm watching it from above, and I'm like, there's a good chance he didn't even see him. And it's just they collided.
I mean, it still goes back to the whole, like, keep your head on a swivel type thing. You have to know where you are. You have to know where your opponent is.
So I think in that, he will maybe there will be some discipline, you know, after disciplinary action, because
you're responsible for where you are on the ice.
And was it low? Yes. Was it late? Yes. But if the refs didn't see it, that to me says that maybe, because there's one standing right on the line, too.
Yeah.
So if he didn't see it, maybe Nikita didn't see it either.
It was.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Normally I'm like the first one to call out somebody if they have a nasty hit, but I just feel like he probably didn't see it. But again, making sure you know where your body is in relation to everybody else, like that's your responsibility.
And so, I was obviously, you know, that's not calling him Marchand or Tom Wilson at all.
Right. No.
Because he's not. But it was real. Like, I was like, oh, gosh.
No, I'm like, come on. Why'd you have to do that?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, Joe said that. That was his reaction. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, my reaction. And you know, we'll see what happens. And maybe it's a learning moment. And we just have to hope that Sabocas okay. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. But very entertaining games in Sweden, and the teams on the road back. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
And so we spoke with Joe Yerndon of The Athletic, who writes for the Buffalo Sabres, in the first two segments about, you know, the Sweden trip and how we swept. And it was so great to see the team playing so well. Like, yes, they had slow starts, but I was like, come on. They were, like, undeniable at the end there.
Yeah, I think this is a good – I think the Sabres are a good team. I thought there was a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 40 – how many? It was like 83, 84 shots total.
It's crazy.
In like game two or something like that. Like, what the heck? I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It definitely got away from the Sabres there.
Yeah.
In game two.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, leading up to it, I thought that I loved how the Sabres started every period of every game out like, we're attacking.
Yeah.
We're going to attack you. And then the Lightning figured it out.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, we're talking about the fourth line, especially in game two. How many times did you hear Maroon's name, Gord's name, Paquette's name?
I know.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was because the Sabres were shutting down the Lightning top line or these guys just were thriving. But boy, that they were not playing like a fourth line. They were playing like a top line in the NHL.
And I love when a fourth line plays like a top line. It just makes me happy. It just does. Because they're grinders and like, you know, they're really out there to like, I hate to say this, I'm going to get so much hate tweet from this, but like the fourth line, they're out there to like just give an extra shift to the first, second, and third lines to like relax and catch their breath. But when a fourth line, like a couple years ago when we were in the playoffs and against Chicago in the finals, you know, that fourth line was a huge difference maker, scoring, not just in their grinding and, you know, just taking up time off the clock, but really contributing to the scoreboard. And it just makes me happy. Like last year, we had four lines that were just clicking and that could score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gone are the days where like the first two lines were the scoring lines and then the other two just wasted time on the ice. No. So to see Pat, I love Pat Maroon too.
Yeah,
like he's
do.
Quickly becoming one of my favorite players on this team. Love Pat Maroon. And the Get Some Paquette guy. From Amalie Arena, was in Sweden. I heard him yell it on Friday during the game.
The
get some Paquette! I don't know who you are, but I hear you every game. You sit near me somewhere.
Oh, okay. So it's not the...
No, you're a superstar? Or be a superstar or something? No, this is a get some Paquette guy. And if anybody sits on my side... I mean, if you sit anywhere in the arena, you probably heard him. I heard him yell in Sweden on the television.
Fun.
So it, you know, it made me happy when, you know, Paquette, you know, does well, because then I know that guy's really happy.
Yeah.
So, all right. So they're traveling back. They have a couple days probably off the ice to recuperate from all the travel. On Thursday, we hit the ice at home against the New York Rangers.
I don't like the way the Rangers game went the last time they met New York.
I
don't think they did either. It was right before Sweden, so yeah. I really keep hanging on to the words of Brian Burns. Like, when they come back from Sweden, he thinks that they're going to, it's all going to start coming together.
Yeah.
And so I'm holding Brian Burns to those words. But I think we're going to see a different team. I think when you go through something like that, travel and the time changing,
you're around those people for a long time.
Everything's different. The food is different. The people are different. It's a life experience. And for you to come out with, you know, the 4 points in the two games, playing as well as you did as a unit.
Divisional games. Those are those are four very important points. It's not just the
throwaway
game.
Those are 8 point games, as Coop likes to call them. Yeah. He likes to like double them up. And I think we're going to see a different team against those Rangers, I hope, anyway.
I hope you're right.
I don't know. They're starting to bother me, too, the Rangers.
The Rangers?
Not to the level of the, you know, team.
Right.
But, yeah,
the
they're getting
team.
To me, too.
And then Saturday at home versus Winnipeg. Winnipeg. What is that? What is that moan for?
I don't know. Winnipeg is such a strange team to me in the fact that I feel like everybody wants Winnipeg to do well. And they never kind of get to the level of expectations. They're almost...
Well, I feel like that's us, too, sometimes. The Lightning, sometimes.
Well, and there we go. Maybe that's the
maybe
poetry
that's...
of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the Lightning haven't been playing as well against the Western teams.
Right.
Remember a few years ago, I don't know if it was last year, the season before, they could not lose to a Western Conference team except Nashville.
Yeah.
It was just, and then we started seeing a lot of the losses coming last year were to Western Conference teams. So we haven't played them a lot this year.
We've always said Western Conference teams are heavier, are bangers more, but I think Western Conference teams are starting to see the success because, you know, of all the Eastern teams that are faster, more skilled, that kind of thing, and they're starting to crack the code.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of playing our game now. It's not like two different games. So I think that might be part of it, too.
Yep. And Winnipeg's a quick, young team. So it's going to be an exciting two games, I think.
Yep. And then they hit the road again with stops in St. Louis to see the Stanley Cup champions and Chicago. So and then they're home again versus Buffalo that week of Thanksgiving. They've got a couple games at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Getting back to Emily. They haven't played a lot here.
No.
It's kind of weird.
Like, I read something on the Lightning website that the Lightning did their fifth community hero, but they honored that person. They honored it in Sweden.
Yeah.
So,
which was
but
cool.
I was like, the fifth one. Wow, there haven't been that many home games.
No, there haven't, which means
we're going to be at the arena for a lot of time in the next couple months.
Yep.
So, get comfy because we're going to be there a lot. But it's good. I feel like I haven't even really started hockey season yet.
Because
I don't feel like I've been there that much.
Yeah. It does kind of feel like, oh, we're in November already. Oh, that's strange. It doesn't feel like season's really started.
Yeah. So let's get started here. And I feel like the team is really going to be firing on all cylinders come the New York game on Thursday.
Well, Brian Burns is a lot in trouble.
No. Well, here's the thing. We've heard that.
Just kidding,
we heard Eric Erlandson, who also said kind of like after Thanksgiving-ish. And then Corey Long was like, oh, not until after the All-Star break, which, Corey, I love you, but you're trying to give me a heart attack?
Don't do that to CT ever again.
Jeez, Lord. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we will catch you next week for a new edition of Game Miz Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.